KC File, the ultimate Chiefs podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
It is time for the big interview here as we look at the Chiefs. Time to talk Kansas City as Chris Clark will join us. You find us on find him on Twitter at ChrisClarkNFL. He is the host of the Locked On Chiefs podcast that you find at audioboom.com. Chris, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Chris, let's start off as I've been doing with everybody here as we sit kind of at this midway point of the preseason and kind of taking a 30,000-foot level view. Overall, the training camp, now a couple of weeks of preseason games under your belt. What is sort of your big 30,000-foot view of where the Chiefs are at right now?
I think offensively they're there. I think that they have a lot of work to do on defense, but they have a lot of young guys trying to take veterans' places, so I think that they may struggle early in the year, but I think offensively that they have a cohesive unit and that they're good to go on that end.
When you talk about the young guys trying to take the veterans' jobs, give me a couple examples of guys you think that not only are trying to take the job, because obviously everybody in camp's doing that, but guys you think really truly have a shot at pulling it off.
Well, I think it starts with maybe Justin March and Ramique Wilson for Josh Malga. Malga's been out injured for the past couple of weeks and hasn't had a chance to play. So I think that there's a good possibility there that he may end up losing his starting position. I also think that there's a possibility that somebody like a DJ White steps in and gets some more cornerback snaps than we originally thought, that we're going to go to somebody like Phillip Gaines, who isn't necessarily a veteran, but he was projected to be the starter at corner opposite Marcus Peters.
We all know the incredible finish that the Chiefs had last year. So given that, I've got to think within the fan base, there's an immense amount of expectations coming into this year. What exactly are those expectations?
I would think that the expectations are that they make it to the playoffs again. I think that they expect to win the division. And I would be shocked if they're not at least in the running to be in the AFC Championship game.
What has to continue from last year and what has to change from last year for them to pull that off?
Well, what has to continue is Alex Smith has to keep being himself. If he plays his game, I think he gives them a great opportunity. He's got a lot more weapons around him. But if he takes care of the ball like he has in the past, I think they'll be in good shape on offense. They're really going to be able to run the ball a lot more effectively this year than they were last year. If Charles comes back healthy, you know, you've got a three-headed monster running back with Spencer Ware, Tre'Kendrick West, and Jamal Charles, and that's going to be a good issue for them. Their receiving core is much improved, so I think that's going to help. What has to change from last year is they got to find a way to get pass rush outside of Justin Houston and Tom Bahali, mainly because Tomba's getting older and proved that he isn't the player he was a couple years ago, and Justin Houston probably won't be available, if at all, this year until at least midseason.
When you talk about the three-headed running backs, break it down for me and what you think it'll wind up being. If we assume that Jamal Charles is healthy, how do you think the touches from the backfield will be broken down between those three guys? How much of a by committee? Are we talking even splits? Do you think Jamal gets up over 60%? How would you handicap it in terms of the touches between those three guys?
Well, I think it's really going to change during the year. I think that Jamal's percentage will be a lot lower in the first couple of games as they work him back into shape and get ready for the season. I would expect that he's still going to take the bulk of them, maybe 60%. I would personally prefer him to be down closer to maybe 55% when you're talking about carries. Touches overall, I think he's going to be more involved, I think, in the passing game than the other two running backs. But that's also something that they can work on, using maybe Ware and Charles in the backfield at the same time and Ware running and Charles as the wide receiver. There's just a lot of options that those three will be able to create for the offense.
Chris, you mentioned the fact that you'd like to see him closer to 55%. Is that because you're worried about the wear and tear, or is that because you want to see more of West and Ware out there?
It's a little bit of both. I think Spencer Ware brings something that Charles doesn't. Charles is not a punishing runner. Ware has the bulk and the strength to be a very punishing runner, and I think he's going to get a lot of the goal line carries this year. I think he will take that duty from Charles a little bit. But at the same time, I think you want to save Jamal Charles. I don't think you really need him to be running. You know, in the past, he's run 75-80% of the running plays and been very involved in the passing game. I don't think that that's necessary this year with the running backs that they have.
When you're talking about the wide receivers, you talk about the fact that the wide receiving core, in your opinion, got better. We know Jeremy Maclin is there. Certainly we know about Travis Kelce. But who else is out there on the pass-catching side of things for Alex Smith that maybe folks aren't quite familiar with, and maybe even somebody that's a new face on campus, if you will?
Well, most of the offseason for Chiefs fans was talking about Tyreek Hill. He's going to be a punt returner and probably kick returner. It also looks like he could be involved as a wide receiver. I think the number two wide receiver is probably going to end up being Chris Conley. He's looked very good in the preseason. He looks like he's really improved over last year and looks ready to be in a bigger role this year. Kansas City also has something that they started to do last year, playing three tight end sets. And, you know, you have Travis Kelce, but you also have somebody like Demetrius Harris, and I think they have a new guy named Ross Travis that will give them the opportunity to play three tight end sets and be very dangerous in the passing game. Where they would need to really work on it with the three tight ends is their blocking.
Yeah, trying to get those guys in there so that it's not an automatic passing play. You know, sometimes that's not easy to be able to fool the defenses. Is the talk, Chris, amongst the Chiefs fans, do they look from Kansas City westward to Denver and say, okay, the Broncos are down, this is a chance to be able to take the division, or are they simply focused on just making the playoffs?
I think most of the talk is about the Broncos being down. Personally, I think that they're going to be having a very hard time this year winning the division without a set quarterback, and maybe one of their guys will step forward and play better in the regular season than they played in the preseason. But right now, not having any kind of answer there and losing people on your defensive line and your defense in general is really going to hurt the Broncos' chances of being able to repeat as AFC West champions, let alone Super Bowl champions.
Last year, the Chiefs finished with 11 wins. Is that the target again this year, or is there, you know, do the fans and the team maybe sit back and say, "Hey, 10 in a row is kind of an anomaly"? What's the win total target, Chris, if you had to place one on the dartboard?
I would say 11-5 is the target. I think that's a very good record. I think that fans understand that 10 wins in a row is something that's not going to happen very often. It is a very big rarity in the NFL. There's too much parity in the league. Kansas City does have a little bit of an easier schedule this year than they had last year, but I do think that, you know, 11-5 probably gets them the division. The bigger question to me is, are the Raiders going to step up and be above the Broncos this year?
Chris Clark has been our guest. He's the host of that Locked On Chiefs podcast that you find at audioboom.com. You find him on Twitter at Chris Clark NFL. Chris, always appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight on the Chiefs.
Thanks for having me.
Chris with us. That's the big interview coming up next, Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick. Stick around.
Around the League.
It is time for us to go around the league, and as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter at Coach Billick. It is the coach, Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short, but it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff, and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since the, Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback, let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, what the old adage is, if you have two or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits into the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club. Colin Kaepernick still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, that's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see, because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid, competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good. Because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy. But if you can get and reach down into the fourth round like they did for Dak Prescott, this is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, that you say that, people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how He feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL is going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, but the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter in your backup quarter position.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer, so he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy? who's had a solid beginning in his career. That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999 to basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson. And he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Grady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year, hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing? Is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Oh, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, it's kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lott, and how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much, much more difficult. And that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand. And if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And you know, when we talk about this and the work I do for the NFL Network, we're at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing about who are the teams that are going to surprise us. And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good, because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love, at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, you know, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with E.J. Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you, that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat? And well, that division's on the hot seat because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year, you go, how can a first year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville where he went 1 year and got fired. The expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better. And obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on a hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime.
It is time for Overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in Overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double-check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think, no doubt, Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot, if he performs well in week three of the preseason, to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the two behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right. Question number two. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number three. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number four. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
Ooh. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week one at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a drop-back passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some weapons offensively, but blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number one overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number one, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC, who for the time being shall remain nameless because he's an underclass.
Let me do a follow-up to question number five. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in Overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the Overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week, and it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.